Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And today on SheLuxe's podcast, we're partnering up with Space NK, chatting to, I feel like I don't even know how I'm going to introduce her, but she is the Skin Rocks founder. She is an author. She's an esthetician. She's a bit of a legend. She's Caroline Irons. All right.
That'll do, mate.
Oh, that's all right, isn't it? That wasn't too bad. I've got more from her top career advice.
Oh, right. Okay.
Hold on a minute. Me and her have just had a conversation where I haven't been taking her advice and I should have listened, I'm sure.
Whose fault's that?
It's mine. And what makes a brand successful and the product she thinks everyone should buy at Space NK. She is here with me to share everything she knows about beauty and the ins and outs of her success story. So Caroline, here we are on the podcast. And this one is all about life in beauty and your success story. We've only got an hour. I feel like I could be here all day, Che.
Just get my shoes off and get comfy.
Yeah, you should. You got your cuppa. So let's start at the beginning. I mean, I think it's the best place to start. You've been described as being able to make or break a new product. I feel like being described as that, I mean, it's proven. It's a full proven fact. How did this reputation come to be and where did things even begin? It's a big question.
Oh, God, that's a lot to unpack. I think ultimately, back in the day of donkeys and carts, in the early days of blogging, as it were, I was already in the industry. I was already established and working in the industry. So I didn't go in gung-ho and want to just slag brands off just to try and get clicks, because we didn't even know what got you clicks back in the day. And I didn't want to upset friends in the industry. So the feedback I always gave was along the lines of if I was telling them in person. So it was, well, I love this, but this could be done better. And that, not always just cherry picking and showing the good, meant that when I did say, this is the dog's bollocks and you need this in your life, people would just listen to me and buy it.
Yeah, the authentic voice basically from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's kind of, as soon as that happens once, and then the, you know, the brand would report on it and what, you know, then it just became whatever I said was, you know, golden, became golden.
Yeah, and I feel like you've always been like that anyway, because it's your personality to be true to yourself and the way that you speak to, you know, we've been friends a long time, to, like you say, brand founders or the consumer, your followers, etc. You're speaking to everyone exactly the same.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah. Got no other
god
way.
Yeah, I can't, when I see people brown nosing to like brand founders, or, you know, I just think, oh, stop it.
Yeah, if it's good, it's good, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Talking to the blog, I mean, like you say, that started a long time ago. You were in the industry before that.
Yeah.
Right? You've been working in the industry since...
97.
Yeah,
what year were you born?
82. Hold on. But I also feel like...
50, not bad.
Yeah, 97 feels like it was about 10 years ago, wasn't it?
No,
it
really wasn't. Shocking.
So you were started on the industry. We'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. But the blog, was that something that you purposely set out to do, knowing that it was successful? Was it a space that you put out there because you wanted to write about stuff? What was the reasoning behind even beginning it?
I tried to explain how someone should cleanse their face on Twitter. And back in the day, it was like, what, like 70 characters or something? It's like 140 now, or was 140 and now it's 280 or whatever.
Yeah.
And someone said, just blog it. And I was like, I don't know what that is. But of course, I had read blogs. I just didn't know how to do it. And my first one was literally a blogspot.co.uk.
Wow.
And so the first blog post that I put up was how to cleanse your face properly, how to massage and cleanse your face. And it's still one of the most viewed.
Wow.
And I just did it that night. I just got the Blogspot domain, got my son to help me take pictures, which is basically me with my face under a living room lamp, going like this, scrunching up my face, trying to do a massage technique, and him going, yep, got it, click. I mean, that was it.
I mean, it's still on there, guys. You can go back and have a look at that.
Literally, very first post.
And when did you know that it was becoming successful? I mean, obviously the readership, but was there a certain point when you were like, hold on a minute, I'm onto something here?
I suppose when more and more people just started turning to me for advice, you know, it wasn't so much as where can I buy this? It was how would I use this?
Yeah.
I was getting asked different questions to the other bloggers. The other bloggers, it was very much makeup, nails, and fragrance.
Yeah.
You know? And I was the only person at the time who was just doing dedicated skincare. And I think because I was qualified, I'd worked in the industry, you know, I was kind of working in the industry alongside doing the blog for years. It just became, it became more apparent that people were turning to me to know what to use as opposed to telling them about a new release or something like that.
Yeah. And talking of like working alongside that, I mean, obviously you're a trained esthetician. What was your first ever job? For people that don't know, I'm not sure there's not many out there, but there's people that don't know how your career in the beauty industry started. How did it all begin?
I was a Saturday Sunday girl on the Aveda counter in Harvey Nichols. And on my first day, I thought, I really like this. And Aveda did skincare. It wasn't just hair. And they did makeup and bath and body. And, you know, they were the whole package. And on my second day, back in the days of it being Sunday trading was quiet, not one of the busiest days of the week, the girl that was supposed to be working with me called in sick. So I was on my own. And I took more money on my own than they had taken as a team the day before on the Saturday.
Wow.
And but I didn't feel like I'd sold anyone something they didn't need. I just loved the talking to people and the helping them. And it was mainly skincare. So they would come in and say things like on the Monday, like, oh, the hair target, we didn't reach it. I'm like, well, there was no one here. I was selling skincare. Yeah. You know, so yeah, Aveda, Harvey Nichols.
And the counter side of stuff as well. I feel like, you know, I started on the counter too. That experience is so invaluable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you're talking, not only when you're on the counter, you're looking after people with different skin dilemmas, different ages, different skin tones, etc. You are just creating that level of customer service,
yeah,
which now you're a brand founder, you ensure your team do. But yeah, that's how I always say to people, start on a counter if you don't know how to start.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the best training you can have in learning how to talk to people, in learning how to pick up signs from people,
you know,
read between the lines of what it is they're looking for. The training is invaluable.
And then moving on to like the blog that was before the big social media move, and was then when Instagram launched, was it 11 years ago now, I think, something like that, wasn't it?
I actually don't know.
Again, feels like yesterday.
Mm.
Was that kind of for you just a natural kind of move, or was Facebook first? Because your Freaks group on Facebook.
No, that came after.
Really?
Facebook came after.
Okay.
Yeah. It was Instagram, Twitter, blog, Instagram.
Right. Okay.
I didn't really get into Snapchat. I had it for a while just to look at like my daughter and stuff. And I was like, this is so not my demographic.
Just the animal filters.
Yeah. I'm out. Tap me out.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Instagram was the next big one. And the joy of Instagram was it was, you know, if you think about like magazines came and then blogs came and then Instagram came and everything got sort of shortened to where we've got TikTok, where it's just a microsecond. If you don't have someone's attention, you're not getting opened.
Yeah.
You know? But the joy of Instagram was, of course, originally it was all static.
Just pictures.
It was just photographs.
Yeah.
And it was great. I mean, you know, pink marble. I never did that, but I found it quite entertaining. The pink marble flat lay that became the beauty bloggers, you know, rite of passage. Yeah, I mean, I remember when Instagram started stories and there was outrage. I was disgusted. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do stories. I don't care what everyone's doing day to day. And now it's all we watch.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's funny how it's all grown, but I suppose it's all an evolution, you know, just like our careers as well. But the thing, the difference is that you didn't just sit still. You weren't like, well, I've got my blog. I'm working as well, because you've always been a grafter. So you were working many hours in your actual job as well as the blogging.
Yeah.
But you've just evolved with it and never gone, okay, maybe put your nose up to stories as such, but you know.
No, I soon embraced those.
You still embraced it, exactly. But I think that that's the evolution of it, isn't it? And I think that being a trained esthetician as well, I imagine that really, really helped with the evolution of skincare, because the industry has changed so much. People are so much more knowledgeable.
Yeah.
A lot of that is down to you. Like, do you feel, or did you feel any pressure about giving that advice to people?
No.
Particularly because you couldn't see them, right? They might send you pictures or whatever. Yeah.
No, I basically, doing what I do now, even to some degree, is just the progression of doing what I did on the shop floor 20 or 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Just talking to people, tell me about your skin. You know, people would come in to Space NK, because I worked there as a manager years ago. People would come in and say, I need a really good foundation. And I'm not a makeup artist. I am a trained makeup artist, but it's not my thing.
Yeah.
You know, if I was on a shoot, I'd say, leave me to do the base. I'll leave you to do the smoky eye.
Yeah.
You know, but they would come in and say, I need a really good foundation. I want loads of coverage. I would say, why?
Mm-hmm.
Not, okay, you need this.
Yeah.
I would say, why? You know, and the answer back in the day, by the way, was NARS.
Yeah. Yes.
But so that it became like, even when I was a Space NK manager, I would have a queue of people waiting to just talk to me.
just because they didn't even give them that real truth to what they wanted. Yeah, I mean, it's so important and actually quite rare. I think it's all 360 again coming back now where people are being more authentic. But it was definitely, I think a few years ago, there was a point where the filters were everywhere.
Everything was wonderful. Everything was filtered. Yeah. Nothing was bad.
All the BS that was
all
there.
All the products were wonderful. Yeah. The celeb ranges were wonderful.
So talking of brands, I mean, obviously Skin Rocks. When did you know that you wanted to start your own brand and what was the reasoning for it?
I found something on my notes from 2013, I think it was, or 2012, which was the original outline of a brand. Exfoliatone is still the name we use because I trademarked it as soon as I could. So that's still our number two category in terms of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so I knew I wanted, potentially wanted to. It was only the more I worked as a consultant, I thought, oh my God, I could, I mean, these people, how they've got a business, I do not know. Some of them, not all of them. I've worked with fantastic brands. And the odd brand I've worked with where I got out quick and thought, oh, sinking ship, don't be affiliated with this. And then the ship sank. Also went straight to the bottom and then split in two. I'm not laughing about their demise.
No.
But there are certain people who shouldn't be in business.
Right.
You know, or they just don't take advice. Mm-hmm. Or they have one idea and run with it and think they know everything and they know more than everyone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, as soon as you've got any kind of degree of humility, you know that that's just not the case. Yeah, you know, one of our strengths as a business is we hire people who are better than us.
Yeah.
You know,
you've always said that, actually.
Yeah.
Always said that to me. I think that's really important, but I actually, again, still think that's quite rare. So Skin Rocks was the beginning of a brand 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, the name wasn't, but the idea of having my own brand was, because I would trust my instinct and give brands the advice that they needed to hear, not that they wanted to hear. And so they would trust me and ask my opinion. I would tell them, and then I would say 9.5 times out of 10, I was either proved right or my decision was right or what I told them to do was right and they didn't do it. Lisa.
I'm getting that fulfillment centre. Promise.
And so I thought, okay, you're good at this.
Yeah.
You're talking to people 24/7 because it's still only me on my Instagram. No one else does my comments. It's me. So
hold on. Can everyone just take a moment to like just take that in? Because that is actually a really big deal because there are so many brand founders, but also so many people on social media that have a social media manager that does it and gets their tone of voice down. But they
pretty hard with me though.
Yeah, I was about to say, good luck to that person if that was
to the point where I obviously have access to Skin Rocks Instagram and I'll do that at the weekend when the guys are off. But I once replied to someone not realizing I was replying from Skin Rocks, and Al, within 10 minutes, this is true, Al had DM'd, screenshot it, sent me a WhatsApp and said, is this you? And I went, Oh, sorry. No, I need to go back and make sure it comes from me because it was like my tone of voice.
Yes.
But it was under the Skin Rocks account. Whereas the Skin Rocks account has obviously got to be professional, you know.
Yeah.
And now I would have just put, you know, C or, you know. But yes, my tone of voice is quite me.
But so how did you start? Like, what was the beginning of the brand in terms of like, what was your first conversation with someone to be like, I'm actually going to do this?
I had been speaking about it to Al on and off for Al is our MD, Alex Forbes. I'd been speaking to her on and off because I basically roped Al into consulting with me because I had more clients than I could deal with. And clients like children, and I already have the children. So I was like, I can't be doing this. Like, they're going to drive me nuts. And I say this with love because a lot of them are American.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, hey, can we do a call at whatever time it is their time? I'd be like, no, it's 6 a.m., babe. I'm in bed.
Not
you know?
For me. Yeah.
It's not for me. And so I got Al, who had just coming back off mat leave, to come and start consulting with me. And we had done it for a few years. And eventually I just said, you know what, if we don't hire someone, because we were just talking about it back and forth and we could do that. Imagine if this was us. If this was us, we'd do this. And one day I just said to her, right, if we do not hire an NPD manager, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so we hired an NPD manager. And that was it. Because once you've got the person in the building, you have to keep them employed.
Yeah, exactly. The pressure's on.
Yeah. So that was, we had the brand. I'm pretty sure we hired the NPD manager before we had the brand name.
Because the brand name, when you were talking about Skin Rocks before anyone knew you were bringing out a brand, you had that name sort of in the social media.
No,
did you not?
No, that was an Al Forbes special.
Oh,
we were
really?
Going back and forth. Yeah. We were going back and forth. And I originally wanted Ray Skincare, R-A-E, because it's my middle name. It's Ava's middle name. It's my mum's middle name. It was my nana's middle name. It's a family name. You can tell we're from the South. Ava Ray, Barney Ray. But there are loads of Ray Skincares in the world. And more importantly, in America. So if I thought, if I can't get a trademark in America, what's the point?
Yeah.
And then Al said, what about Skin Rocks? Because, of course, if you have followed me for more than a day, you'll know my main obsession is music.
Yeah.
I mean, I would pick music over skin.
Right.
And so she was like, but Skin Rock's like, and at the time I'd been doing lots of backstage stuff with the Brits.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a good play on words because it could be my Skin Rocks, your Skin Rocks, yeah. that kind of thing. So, and then I did what I do with my business head and I searched the domain name and it was very expensive. And I thought, that's a good sign. Good SEO, good sign.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That could have put a lot of people off. They could have thought, well, actually, no, you know, I can't afford that or it's too yeah. much.
But if it's expensive it, as a domain name, yeah. buy it.
Yeah.
If you can.
Everyone's now on GoDaddy.
Yeah, literally, that was it. Was GoDaddy. I was like, GoDaddy, Skin Rocks. I was yeah. like, oh.
I love that.
I mean, it was thousands.
Wow.
Yeah. But the reason is, of course, on pack 4 and 5.
Yeah.
No, first of all, I don't come into it with an ego. It was never, ever, ever going to be Caroline Hirons. Number one, people don't get my name right ever. It's always Caroline Hirons, Caroline Hirons,
yeah.
you know, Caroline Hirons. The only people I let get away with it are the French.
Yeah.
Where I'm Madame Caroline Hiron.
And it just sounds gorgeous.
That'll do. I'm yeah. like, say it again, Pierre. But, and my name is too big for PAC.
Yeah.
You can't get Caroline, you know. And also, I didn't want it to be affiliated with me forever so that if I decided to sell down the road, I didn't lose my name, like Bobby Brown, Joan Malone, right? So I've always had the business savvy of be affiliated with it for as long as you want to be affiliated with it. And it's very much my brand.
Yeah.
But you can take my name off it and it stands alone. And that was the thing. And Skin Rocks is 4 and 5. Like Sunday Riley, perfect brand name. 6 and 5. You know, both end in a Y. Looking at it on the screen, you can see it. So looking at pack and that kind of thing is something we'd done instinctively working in retail, beauty retail for decades. You know what's going to sit on a pack and what is just going to look ridiculous. So when people would launch products and it would be like this really long name, I'd be like, oh, sweet God, someone tell them.
Yeah.
Please someone tell them for their sake. You know,
completely. And I feel like there's going to be lots of people who are starting a brand now listening to this with their pen and paper, drawing their box, writing their name on it, going, is it going to fit?
Yeah, don't use your name.
Yeah. No, but that's really true, actually. I didn't think about that because obviously, you know, there has been so many brand founders that have kind of lost their identity because they have sold.
Yep.
And it's really complicated because they don't own the brands anymore, but they're still affiliated, but they don't yep. want
to
be.
I just never, ever wanted to have my name. It's not about me and yeah. my ego. You know, if my idea of like, just kill me now would be my face on the side of a bus with Caroline Hirons on it. I'd be like, oh
shit, I'm doing that for your birthday.
You know, like the team trying to persuade me to put my face in the light box at Liberty was like, yeah. it doesn't need to be me, just use product. And then yeah. they were like, it needs to be you. Yeah. And I was like, okay. I said, I'm doing it my style though. So I'm like, haha.
Yeah, exactly.
Local garage.
The jazz hands come out. So the brand and with obviously the products, you know, we know they're phenomenal. I mean, we expected nothing less. Were you nervous?
No, because I knew that if anything went tits up, it would be something that was outside of our control.
Yeah.
Because we had done our end of the bargain. You know, the yeah. product was great. It was tested. It was clinically trialed. You know, we had used it on us and the wider team and, like I say, got independent testing done. So I knew that everything about it should be great and should work. Then it was down to how we marketed it, how we sort of sold it through in terms of education, because it was always, you know, formula first, science first, education first.
Yeah.
Telling people why they need something, why they don't need something, you know? And so I think the nerves were more, will there be people who think the audacity of her bringing out her own brand? But that very soon goes away because you're like, fuck what they think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I can't imagine you thinking that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm human.
No, I know that. But I think that, you know, as such an expert in your field, I thought you would have been more nervous about everyone like loving the product because the pressure that is on creating a brand is huge, right? But yeah. it's not pressure, actually. It's more the pressure you feel on yourself as yeah. well. And your team, you have a really big team now, which has yeah. obviously grown more and more.
Yeah.
And you don't like letting anyone down.
No.
Who does? But I know that you particularly you yeah. don't like that.
It would keep me up at night.
Yeah, completely.
And especially customers. You know, we never yeah. want to take the piss. We never want yeah. to take their trust for granted. Yeah. So it was, yes, I was relieved when people, you know, there was a unanimous, oh, we love this. Especially yeah. with things like, you know, like the acid.
Yeah.
That's already our best-selling SKU. It's been out a month.
Wow.
And so it's, I mean, phenomenal. And I knew it would be, but then when it is and you get the response back of, no, I love this, you're yeah. right. I was like, oh, thank God. So there's the relief that you only realise you were putting yourself under that pressure once it's all happened and you can look back and go, oh, okay, well, that was quite good that worked out.
Yeah.
But I wasn't nervous about the product because I cannot tell you how many. I mean, I am such a pain in the ass to my poor labs. You know, I was saying during a conversation with them, you know, we had like 20 or 25 iterations of the moisturizer before we settled on that. And then they perked up and said, well, that's what you saw. For every one that we sent you, we made maybe four. And I was like,
sorry about that.
Sorry.
Good to be a perfectionist though.
Yeah.
Good to be. Now, let's go back to talking about Space NK, because you obviously have just mentioned that you worked in there as a manager. And then that was the first retailer you picked to be in.
Yeah.
That's pretty mega. I mean, you've always supported them. They've always supported you. Was it a no-brainer for you to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And talking of education, because the one thing that I love about your products is how simple you make everything.
Yeah.
And the education that they have, because the founders, like yourself, physically go in store and train the staff.
Yeah.
It's really different education process in Space NK than anywhere else.
Yeah, we have people constantly going around the stores, re-educating the teams, you know, talking to the people that work there. Yeah, Space NK was just a no-brainer. Mm. It was always going to happen. I mean, they were, you know, I went from Aveda to Space NK, was a manager there for two-ish years, I want to say, two and a half years. But then my affiliation with Space NK stayed, because all through my jobs after that, so I ran Shantikai for 5 years outside of the USA. So I was with Space NK all the time. Then I consulted for brands like Sunday Riley, Dr. Dennis Gross, all those kind of things. And they're all in Space NK. So my relationship just kept going. And, you know, it was the kind of thing where Space would contact me and say, can you help this brand? We want to launch them, but they can't afford to hire anyone full-time in the UK. And so I would take it on as a consulting basis on a retainer. And that's how my whole business started, really, when I decided to go freelance. Mm. But yeah, Space NK is one of those things that I know it so well, I could do it in my sleep.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy, because you're still, you know, we're not given any preferential treatment here. Like, we're up against all of the big brands in the industry.
Yeah.
But the advantage I have is, you know, the relationship with the teams, that kind of thing. You know, there's people working in Space NK that I've known for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that about Space NK, because you can go into a store and the knowledge of the people, because there's no, you know, a lot of sports stores work on commission.
Yeah.
But because they don't,
yeah,
they don't have a brand they're affiliated with in store, they really talk about the brands that they truly, truly love. Another thing that I think stands you guys out from the crowds is your packaging.
Yeah.
You know, you love a bright colour.
See, I love a colour, and I take umbrage at people saying things like, you've copied this brand or you've copied that brand.
I would never think you've copied.
Thank you very much, LPD.
You're welcome.
But when I say take umbrage, in the funny way, and then I forget about it and move on with my life.
Yeah.
But I mean, I say that today, I'm in a grey blazer. When have you ever seen me in a grey blazer?
Well, you have got bright blue shoes.
But I am wearing bright blue shoes.
You are.
But I'm all colour. It was always going to be bright packaging, because my bone of contention with skincare is the way we market it is, if it's white and clinical, it must work.
Yes, true.
Which is just bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of white clinical brands out there that do not work.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to bring colour into it and be like, it can look good, feel fantastic, because we use a lot of glass, and it doesn't take away from the efficacy because it's colourful.
Yeah.
You know?
And it makes you feel good when you look at it. Like, you know, you have it on your... People are investing in your brand.
Yeah, it's good colour.
You want them to feel good as well as, like...
I mean, the colour choosing and the Pantones, this is obviously like three, four years ago, was one of the most fun parts. Because
I can imagine.
Because, you know, you're working with packaging designers and they're all very... or agencies at the time, and they would be like, okay, so we feel like this is more, like, what they're trying to say is it's not as bright and not as offensive. And I'd go, well, then I don't want it.
Yeah, I want the opposite, thanks.
I don't want pale. I want neon. Yeah. I want yellow.
Yeah.
I want smack me in the face yellow.
Like the bags. I mean, that's like behind the bags.
Yeah.
They've just gone viral multiple times. Like, people collect them.
Kit bags are insane.
The kit bags
are... The brighter, the more obnoxious the colour, the better.
Yeah. And I think this is something that you've done so well as well. Obviously, Skin Rocks is your own brand, but... That doesn't mean that you've stopped using other brands or that you've stopped talking about
them. No.
Kit bags are genius, because you are elevating brands that you love. We're not just talking about the big boys. We're talking about small underdogs
that
a lot of people have never even heard of.
To the point
Jordan
where...
Samuel,
yeah, to example. The point where we don't... I don't think... It's one of the things we don't shout about a lot as well, because when brands are small and we're asking them to make a lot of product for kits,
course.
A lot of the time that would tie up their whole budget.
Mm.
So we have in the past paid brands... in advance, so they can take our money and go and pay for the product that, and then deliver it to us, rather than like the big ones. I don't.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's not. Yeah. But also imagine how that must make that founder feel, that you believe in their product
to
enough
invest.
To be able to do that. I feel
that's
like
the joy of it. Like Pulse Illness. We've sold so many kits, but we haven't even touched the sides of the people that we could reach.
Mm.
And it's, you know, with each kit, there's a charitable element, and so. We're well over £500,000 now we've given to charity over, you know, and put that into what we raised with Beauty Backed.
Yeah.
We're over £1 million, which is phenomenal.
Huge.
In like three, four years. Who does that? No other brand does that. And we don't scream about it because there's that always that side of you that's like, You don't want to be arrogant. But also me screaming about it would bring attention to the charity. So it's just getting that fine balance, you know?
I want to actually talk about Beauty Backed a little bit, because I just think that you, like you say, you get the balance of talking about everything you guys do for charity. That was phenomenal during lockdown, you know, when the struggle was real, mm-hmm. the government were not treating the beauty industry with the respect that we deserve.
That's an understatement.
That is an understatement.
But we'll be very well behaved.
We're trying our best. But what was the turning point where you were like, I've got to do something about this?
A girlfriend of mine told me she'd borrowed money from her aunt to pay her mortgage or to pay her rent, a mortgage, I can't remember. And then around that same time, Boris Johnson was laughing at us in Parliament.
Yeah.
And I lost my rag. Mm. I mean, like I say, I'll be polite, but
yeah,
it's... I was raging.
Yeah.
But raging in the point of they're not going to do anything to help us, so we have to do something. I'm in a position where I've got a big mouth when I want to have. You know, I'm actually quite an introvert, but I have got a big mouth when I need to have one.
Yeah.
A big platform and people are sitting at home with nothing else to do. So let's go and hit up anyone who's ever had a beauty treatment, has someone they regularly go to for a manicure, a facial, a hairdresser, whatever it is, a waxer, and say, guys, these people need your help. They're not getting a penny from the government. It was predominantly punishing women because the industry is mostly women.
Yeah.
Mostly as well, like stay-at-home mums or single mums who are doing a bit on the side, all that kind of stuff. And so I was so incensed that they weren't treating us with the same respect because, you know, if you wanted to do furlough, but you'd had a kid within the previous X amount of time, you couldn't. If you'd been on mat leave, it didn't count.
Yeah.
I could still get itchy. I can't. So I just said, I messaged Al and we found the WhatsApp is, Al, we have to do something to help these people. I can't, yeah, I was just like,
yeah.
And she said, easiest thing would be Al's immediately. When one's going like, ah, the other one is logistical and tactical. And it was me going, we've got to give them money. How do we get money? And she was like, okay. So, and her message was so Al. So the easiest thing would be go start GoFundMe. And I was like, okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
And so we did that and we raised 600 grand for the hair and beauty charity.
Yeah.
And we just called them and said, yeah, I've got a lot of money for you. And they were like, come in.
Yeah.
Because they were swamped. They couldn't keep up, you know? And it was just horrendous. The stories, like we would get stories. Millie from the British Beauty Council got a letter from a woman and I read it out on Instagram. And that was quite a catalyst because as I was reading it, I broke down. Mm. And you just saw, and we thought we'd get 50 grand. Like the goal was if we can raise 50 grand, I mean, so green, you know, like, yeah. Oh, maybe we'll raise 50 grand. We did that in like a day.
Yeah.
It just went, boom.
Was that the letter about the mum that had to go to the food bank? Because I remember there was a story about that.
Couldn't afford trainers for her daughter at school. And people were like, I'm going to send her clothing. I'm going to send her shoes. Give her my details, all this sort of stuff. I mean, it was what it brought out in women.
Yes.
Predominantly women was just life reassuring. You're just like, okay, this is the goodness of people.
And actually, I think it changed the opinion on the beauty industry for so many people as well.
Yeah.
People that are in it, people that aren't in it.
Yeah.
And I think that continues to this day. I mean, obviously, Beauty Backed continues still doing all the great work. But I think the change that was made by having that voice and the spiral effect of what you and Al started, is so powerful. And I can imagine is probably one of your proudest things
you've done. Yeah, we went into it, like, that's the good word. We went into it with power. We went into it wired. Like, I was like... But we are going to get you some money. And every time that the government did something that went against us, it made me even more like, oh, you think so, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, really? You know, I mean, raging, but it's directed rage.
Yeah.
If I'd have just gone, how dare, and just ranted on, I could have just ranted on Instagram. It would have made a few hits, you know, it would have been clickbait and then it went away. But we were like, no, we have to do something. We have to like get all it. Because it's a £28 billion industry, and that is predominantly, it's the second biggest employer of women in the UK after the NHS. And they laugh at us in Parliament. I would not on my watch. Yeah. I was raging, raging.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm angry now.
I mean, I'm feeling angry as well.
No, honestly, I'm like, oh, God. So, you know, it was like people who'd had jobs for years, lost their jobs. They couldn't feed their kids. And I was just like, this is outrageous. Why aren't you helping these people?
Mm.
And so we did. We just raised the money. And then, of course, because we realised there was a real need, we kept it going.
Yeah.
So the initial funds all went to the hair and beauty charity. And then Beauty Back became a trust. And we went from there. And now we're sort of, you know, switching into other avenues of how we can help. But it was all, you know, it's very much, I am that older generation where, you know, you had to graft.
Yeah.
You know, you had to, you couldn't just sit and do nothing. No. You had to be a grafter. Mm-hmm. If you wanted a job, go and get a job.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to give up your job, your mum would go, well, you better find another one before you give it up, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. So to be able to do something with that energy and that work ethic was fantastic. And I don't think certain aspects of the government were prepared for that.
Oh, they definitely were not.
And then what's great is the Tory press came and I was in the Telegraph and also I was like that. It was like, and then one of the strap lines was something along the lines of, I've got enough HRT to take on this government and more. And I was like, oh God.
Which is,
I
mean, so you.
No lies were told, but you know, and you're like.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, when you look back at it now, it is something to be so proud of. And I think that, you know, all of us in the beauty industry thanked you for that, and it continues. Which
you just you just don't realise at the time the effect you're having just on telling that person at home who's watching me on Instagram, I've got your back.
Yeah.
I don't know what I can do, but I'm going to try and do something.
Yeah.
You know, and the amount of people now, even, you know, if I'm at like the BabTac Awards or something like that, the amount of people that come up to me and just grab my arm and they're welling up and they just go, thank you.
Yeah.
And now I know enough to say, like, are you okay? You know, give them a hug and we talk and stuff. But what I love is it was, I didn't just donate. I don't have $500,000 to just go, oh yeah, let's give money. I'll write a check. But it was the collective movement of women taking care of predominantly women.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I loved. I mean, I was on the, I was harassing L'Oreal. They were like, we have our chosen charities. They were like, sorry, that sounds like a problem for you. I need your money.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember.
So LPD, what are you doing? Yeah, I need your help.
Yeah. But also I remember us like calling when they opened beauty back up again in bloody floods of tears. Just being like, it's open, we're you've open. Done it. And
well, because the indignation we all felt when they opened barbers, betting shops.
That was the worst when they opened barbers.
Barbers, betting shops.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to get arrested. I'm going to get arrested. And then I had people, women, sending me photographs of barbers doing full facials and waxing on men's faces. And that's my biggest Instagram live to date. It was just, the indignation was, are you actually kidding me? Are you high?
Yeah.
Are you, why are you punished? No, enough now. Enough.
I remember us sending like all our husbands to barbers. Like I sent Theo to like three different barbers. To
see what they'll do for you.
Yeah, I said, see if they'll trim your brows. See if they'll do this. Yeah. He was like, but now I've had my brows trimmed already. I don't care. It's for the women. Go and do it.
Go and do it.
You've got a sister and a wife. Go and do it. But yeah, I mean, incredible really when you look back at it. So as an entrepreneur, an author, one of beauty's most influential women, I mean, I feel like we've kind of just touched on one, but can you share some of your highs and lows in your career? And I think the whole, what we've just spoken about there through COVID probably was a high and a low in lots of respects.
Yeah.
What else has there been in your career that you've thought, that's incredible pinch me moment, or hold on a minute, what am I even doing?
Well, the hold on a minute, what am I even doing was why I started consulting.
Mm.
Working for people where you just have a different set of ethics. You know, you're just like, I can't talk to people the way you want me to talk to them.
Mm.
You're actually quite obnoxious. I don't even want to be employed by you anymore. So those are the moments where you're like, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and work for myself. You know, so they turned out to be good. But at the time, it was a nightmare to go through because you're trying to go to work every day to work for people that you don't respect. You know, trying to sort of behave in a way that is ethical to the way you were raised and being told to treat people appallingly. And I just thought, I can't do this.
No,
this
isn't, would you?
I can't do this.
Yeah. But imagine that you're one person that stepped away from that. So many people probably do just get on with it.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing, isn't it?
Well, their staff turnover is quite high, so. And then in terms of like the good things, I suppose it's, you know, the realization of the brand coming to fruition. Beauty Backed, obviously, you know, having great people around us and the team, things like that, you know, just getting recognition, but for what we've done as opposed to like as a person.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about, like I say, it's not about me or my name or my ego. It's just the recognition that we've put something out into the market that isn't just a plain old duplicate of everything else, you know?
Yeah.
Something that has something to offer.
Yeah.
That is educational, you know, educational first. We will never sell through fear. When I was hiring recently, I was like, okay, I don't take this event, but no Gen Zers.
Yeah.
I want old school, hardcore retail.
Yeah.
Biatches.
Yeah.
People who can handle, people who can handle any question.
Yeah.
You know, they're not too precious to clean a counter, but they know that it's service.
Yeah.
Being of service to the customer.
Yeah, it's so important. And what about the book? I mean,
who knew?
Probably forgot about that now.
Well, who knew? I mean, yeah, you know, when I was approached to do the book, there was a part of me that was just like, oh, but the blog is there. And so for the longest time I just kept saying, well, I've got the blog and that's free, you know, it's there. And I, you know, again, that's where you have to have the humility of listening to people who know.
Mm.
And they were like, yeah, but we need a good skincare book, and it's the best-selling skincare book of all time.
Yeah, which is just wild.
We launched during lockdown.
Yeah,
with no book tour, no campaign, there was one TV ad that went out in the middle of Coronation Street, and I had my hair in a bun and no makeup on. It was horrendous.
Was that when someone made a meme of that or something? Was that
yeah, like... just horrendous. Like, oh my God, my mum called me. She was like, well, okay.
Deirdre was on, and then it was you.
And then it was you with a bun, yeah. A wet bun and barely any makeup, because of course, COVID, we couldn't have any filming crew.
Do anywhere.
Oh, it was horrendous.
You were back to, you know, in your, back in the day, kind of quite yep. apt really, isn't it? Back in the day, when you're getting your son to take a picture of
oh
you.
My God, no, I was like, you'd think I'd have some fancy campaign. I didn't even get to a book tour.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I mean, do you ever, I know you're not very good at this. I know you're not very good at like, taking like time to relax. I mean, we're both the same in that respect. Do you ever sit back and go, oh shit, look what I've actually done?
No.
Yeah, no. I mean, also holidays, you're not great at them either.
No.
Great. Any plan this year?
Yeah.
Just city breaks? You love a...
No.
You like a...
We like it, like I can't lie by a pool all day.
No, I can't.
Bored off my head.
Yeah.
And so we love a bit of Italy.
Yeah.
Because we love the food.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're foodies.
Yeah.
But we've done, when we go, we've done like 3-4 day city breaks in Italy. So we've done all the main cities, that kind of thing. But we were supposed to be going to Italy in April. I haven't got time for that. So that's going out the window. Jim's like, okay, great. Don't worry about me. I'm like, oh, we'll go soon. Yeah. And then, so we've got one in September.
Okay, good.
Because I'm too busy.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I can't, people are like, oh, you really must go and switch off. I'm like, I never switch off. Okay. If you want to be a founder of a business,
yeah.
be prepared to never switch off yeah, if absolutely. You care about it.
Yeah.
If you really care about it, you can't switch off.
Yeah.
So I can relax. I relax. I put a bit of SVU on. I have grandchildren crawling all over me. Chilled.
Yeah.
Fine. But actually leave the country and put an out of office on for 2 weeks, never going to happen.
Yeah.
Never going to happen.
Well, I mean, once a grafter,
each to their own. If you want to do that,
yeah.
there's no judgment from me. It's just not, I can't relax. You know, my ADHD would be like, why are you sitting down? Why are you doing that? Answer that email. What are you doing? It relaxes me to do stuff.
I mean, that kind of makes complete sense as well, because that's why you're successful, I'm pretty sure. So right now there is a real shift between like new innovation, but also like this excess and overdoing your routine. I mean, it's everywhere at the moment, isn't it? How do you navigate that with your own brands and launches? I feel like the knowledge is out there a lot more because of people like yourself educating people. But when you're launching a brand, was it really important to you to kind of bring out these steps, very clear steps on how to do the product so that people weren't overwhelming their skin?
Yeah, it's I sort of knew from the beginning what categories I wanted.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been any rhyme and reason to what we've released it, because it was just when they were ready.
Right.
So people are like, oh,
okay.
Why launch with retinoids? I'm like, oh, it was what was ready.
Right.
At some point you have to go to market.
Yeah.
You know, we're not privately, there's no equity fund.
Yeah.
You know, it's me. And so I can't release 10 SKUs all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd have to sell a house I don't have to do that. You know, it's like,
so
it was always going to be what's ready first. And what's ready first was the retinoids. And then the moisturizers were ready. Oh, that's lovely. And support oil. Oh, that's good. You know, I think people thought we'd bring out like an acid and a cleansing balm first. But they're two really, really hard things to get right and worth taking the time, as the proof has been in the pudding. You know, I could have knocked out any old acid, any old glycolic. I can do that in my sleep. I didn't want to use glycolic. I wanted it to be more sophisticated and more expensive. Duh. So it's much more of a considered process.
Yeah. I voice noted you the other day because Dawny, for those of you that don't know, Dawny is one of my best friends, but also my assistant. And when we had the two toners, she literally screamed, Caroline's made this for me, because of the description about how you've broken that down. Because, you know, for the oily skin or for the whatever, it's so simple. But someone that, it can be for someone that's super knowledgeable or for someone that's not knowledgeable, but they'll both get the same understanding of the product because of the wording on the box.
Yeah. And, you know, putting you need this if and you don't need this if. To my knowledge, we're still the only brand that tells you not to buy it on the pack. You know, if you turn it over, it says you don't need this if you prefer a gel texture or whatever. You'd be like, oh, okay, fine. Then you put it back. So when people ask in the Freaks group, you know, we've got like 150,000 members of the Freaks group. When they sort of say, do I need this? I'll go, what have you got now? And if they say blah, 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 whatever, and I'll just say, oh no, you don't need it. When that runs out, go and have a, you know, go and have a test and see what you think.
Yeah.
It's not sell, sell, sell. It's sell when it's the right time, sell when it's appropriate. You know, you have to have that end consumer in mind. I don't want people to feel like we've sold something to them unnecessarily.
That Freaks group is the most helpful group in the world. So I'm obviously on it. And whenever anyone's got a dilemma, I look at these like 40 million comments.
We have to cap the comments because people jump in and they're helpful. You know, you obviously you get the odd bad un, but
yeah,
or the odd bit of bad advice where I get swooped in like, you need to tell them no. And I'm like, yeah, don't do that to your face. And then I sort of quietly delete the other comments because I don't want to shame people, you know.
No.
But yeah, they're all very eager to share their knowledge. So it kind of runs itself, you know. Yeah. We obviously have admins because it's that many people in a group. But in terms of the advice that's given and that kind of thing, people are generally, and there's so many GPs in there, which is amazing because they will reply and put GP here, can't give any specific advice, but what this person said to do is what you could maybe look at doing, you know.
Yeah, so that's fantastic. Great. I mean, you love music. There's like 150,000 people in that group. Wembley?
Imagine.
Just doing a stadium tour.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be great.
Nice little stadium gig. You can come with your tambourine.
Yeah, oh yeah, my light up tambourine. Or my kazoo. Honestly, my talent knows no end. Okay, switching to trends. Oh, so I was just wondering what you're going to say about this. What's your take on like skincare trends? Are there any that you really believe in? Double cleanse, no, that's going to be one.
That's not a trend. Okay, that's just common sense.
Yeah, fair. Okay. But is there anything that you think that's actually you've seen that you thought, okay, well, actually, people should be doing that?
No.
Good. Thought so.
Okay. I hate trends.
Yeah.
I hate trends. If people say, oh, I couldn't even tell you what, you know, this is really trendy. Are you going to make a product with blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, no. Mm.
Yeah, it's the same with makeup really as well, isn't it? You see all these kind of trends, I'm like, oh, that was done in like...
I have been around the block a few times, so half the time I'm like, okay, does it count if we did that 25 years ago?
Yeah.
Skin cycling.
Yeah.
It's just your routine. No difference between a 3-step, 4-step, 5-step, it's just your routine.
Just a fancier name.
It's just a fancy way of calling it, do your routine.
Yeah, that's true.
Trends for me are just something I've never been interested in, whether it's fashion, clearly, or makeup, or, you know, skincare is like the last thing I think should be trendy.
Yeah. And I think that it's caused a lot of issues as well. You know, things going viral and, you know, causing a trend has caused a lot of issues to people's skin. So
that ordinary glycolic peel, bless their hearts. And then people using it with a derma roller on TikTok. And I'm like, your face is going to explode. This is me sitting at home going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And then their face explodes.
Don't follow the trends. Your face will explode. You've probably been asked this a million times, but what is your number one piece of skincare advice?
The only one that would come to my head straight away would be don't sleep in your makeup.
Yeah.
Basically, make sure you wash your face and do your routine at night. There's loads of others. Don't smoke. Like, don't smoke.
No, why?
Why would you do that to your skin?
Yeah.
Why would you do it to your entire being? It doesn't smell. We can smell it on you.
Yeah.
You might think, oh, I've just sprayed a little breath freshener perfume. I don't smell it, but you reek of smoke.
Have you ever smoked in your life? No. I've never smoked in my life.
And I think I'm allergic to it. It makes me feel ill. Mm. So my poor kids, whenever they dabbled when they were teenagers, oh my God, it was like the wrath of Satan in the room. I did not go through 10 months of carrying you in labor for you to smoke. You're destroying those perfect lungs that I made.
What was Ava's response to that?
I mean, at the time, Ava doesn't really listen to her mother, or didn't at that age. Yeah. But she's 22 now, it's better.
Yeah.
It was just that, you know, I was just flabbergasted. Why would you do that? Why are you doing this to me? I made it very personal.
Yeah, there's no positives.
Why are you doing this? Not one single positive to having a fag. Yeah. Not one.
Yeah. No, it's true.
And so, you know, in terms of skincare, don't smoke, don't sunbathe, you know, use the right skincare for you. Don't sleep in your makeup. Don't over-exfoliate. There's loads, but condensed. You could do a top 10 and you'd be good.
I mean, honestly, I think I've told you this before, but Theo knows like how to fully take my makeup off if I get home at like... I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered. Take my makeup off for me.
But if you get home, how much? Do you still have a bath?
I do actually always have a bath.
So you get in the bath, but you don't take your makeup off?
No, I probably do. It's just like...
You just throw a flannel on your face and lie there going, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I always have a bath, whether it be like 4 a.m, whatever.
That's just so random to me.
Isn't it? But imagine, right, because like you can just make a snack whilst your bath's running. Yeah, and then you just take the snack in the bath with me. Moving on. Not about me and my snacks in the bath. Flannels.
Yeah.
Right, I need to know your setup at home. What is there, like a little basket?
Yeah, they're just piled up.
Just like piled up, different colours.
Yeah. Just a collection over the years.
Yeah, just
samples.
Literally.
Anyone else is flannel. I mean, who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
So when it became like, well, because people wanted me to do a flannel, and I would be like, well, you can get them, you know, for 50p in Primark or whatever. And then people say, well, we want your flannel because it'll be better. And I thought, well, no pressure. So obviously we make flannels and they're huge. as in size and in sales, it turns out. And now we can't keep them stocked.
Wow.
We can't get them to go in store until like May.
But the size is actually so important.
Yeah.
Because why have people been making the same size flannel for all these years when everyone's face is a different size? Your face doesn't fit on the whole square flannel.
Also, if you think about it, when you go for a facial,
yeah,
they invariably use like a large piece of muslin cloth, yeah, or something that's much bigger to get the whole area.
Yeah. It makes complete sense. Right. We're finishing up. Feels like it's just flown past. What's around the corner for Skin Rocks and also for yourself? Can you share anything, any little secrets?
Yeah, there's some bits coming out this year with me, and then there are new products for Skin Rocks this year.
Well, that's not it. You can't just say that, can you? Come on.
Well, bitch. I can't tell you.
Hints?
New category. Okay. And extensions to the categories that we have.
Great.
That's about it on that front that I can tell you.
Sorry guys,
I've turned into one of those people that genuinely goes, I can't actually tell you that because we're like signing things or, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's lots coming up. I'm quite tired already.
When you came in, you were like, no, that's it, I'm knackered today.
I'm so sorry.
Monday guys, we're recording, it was Monday.
I've been like back-to-back meetings, cuts to the podcast, and then back-to-back meetings.
But this has been your funniest part of your day so far.
Funnest part. It's the best part of my week, and it's only day one.
Look at that. So lastly, if listeners are going to go away and get some Skin Rocks or Space NK, I mean, what would you recommend that they buy as their first product? I know you're not going to really be able to answer this without talking to them, are you?
Acid.
Yeah.
Gentle acid or control acid. Just if you want the instantaneous hit of, oh, this is different. Oh, this is good. I think it depends. If you've got eczema, psoriasis, really dry skin, probably the support oil with a moisturizer. If your cleanser is really foamy and stripping, maybe try the cleanser first. If you're terrified of retinoids or vitamin A, or you've had a bad bad previous example or experience, go for retinoid one. But in terms of if you're a seasoned skincare user or you know what you're doing and you know your way around an acid, probably the gentle acid would be the most immediate effect of, oh God, this is good.
Yeah, it's so, I think the great thing about that as well is that a lot of people feel like they've got this roughness on their skin. And I've just had a crazy 2 weeks of work. And even I had someone that has a full skincare routine and kind of forgotten it, gone out the window a little bit.
Oh, same for me.
Yeah. And when I got that and used it on, honestly, just the glow, but also just taking away all of that roughness.
Designed to be hydrating at the same time, which a lot of acids aren't. They're quite stripping.
Yeah.
And so I wanted it to be almost like a cross between an acid and an essence.
Mm.
So you're using the acidic part.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the acid automatically follows through with, okay, calm down. Like tearing off a plaster and then rubbing it gently.
Yes. And also it's in your famous bright yellow that we all love.
Yes.
There we go. Well, Caroline, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, obviously.
Always a pleasure, treasure.
That's it. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having
always
me.
Always a pleasure, treasure. My dad used to say that.
Well, I am quite old.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.